I want to lift, if we could, we're in a series, Until He Returns. Last week, we talked about the fact that the premise of this whole series deals with the fact that what should the church be doing until Christ returns? And we shared last week that we ought to be a model church. Part of that whole message dealt with the area of sharing our faith and evangelism and telling others about the goodness of the Lord in our life. And today we want that. It was in the first chapter. Second chapter, we want to read the verse 1 through 12 out of the 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And we're going to read in our hearing from the English Standard Version, starting at verse 1 through 12. It reads as follows. It says, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But," Paul says, "though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." He says, "For our appeal does not spring from error or impurities or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came to you with words of flattery, as you know, nor with pretext for greed. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others." It's as though we could have made demands as an apostle of Christ. He says, "But if we were gentle, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Verse 9, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory." And I want to stop there, and I want to put a tag on this text and talk for a timely tidbit. If you can't take it, you won't make it. If you cannot take it, you will not make it. It was, beloved, Chuck Colson, when he was questioned about his willingness to die for Christ, he said this. He said, "If there is nothing you're willing to die for," he says, "then you have nothing to live for." Listen, beloved, I love that, because from the opening verses of our text, what we get is that the Apostle Paul was willing to die for Christ. He was a sold out steward to what God had entrusted to him, and he gave his whole life for it. In 1 Thessalonians, we are introduced to Paul the evangelist. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul the evangelist. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're introduced to Paul as the pastor. It was, beloved, an occupation that called for the wearing of many hats, but one that paid enormous, beloved, dividends as Paul invested his life in the life of the saints at Thessalonica. You see, the church at Thessalonica was founded through the faithful preaching of the Apostle Paul, but it also was, it flourished through his faithful pastoring. And history tells us that the Apostle Paul endured many trials and troubles and tribulations in his work. And thus he reminds us, beloved, that when it comes to serving God, if we cannot take it, we will not make it. And I believe the text outlines three primary reasons things in order for us to make it in the work of God. Listen, beloved, first of all, we see that we see the faithfulness that is described. In verse 4, Paul speaks of having been entrusted, listen, with the gospel of God. In other words, it was not a message that he devised, developed, or delivered on his own. This was a message that the Apostle Paul received from God. He was a steward of God's message, and his message and his faithfulness to the message is described in our text today in great detail. First, he describes his faithfulness, watch this, in how he suffered. I like that because in this realm of easy believism and in this realm of being too blessed to be stressed and all of this other stuff, we don't like to suffer. We don't like to talk about suffering for the cause of Christ. And here Paul says in verse 2, he says that he suffered and had been shamefully treated at Philippi. I didn't make it up. It's in the text. The word, it refers to the imprisonment and the abuse that he suffered with Silas at Philippi in Acts 16. The word suffered is used in the New Testament to explain the physical suffering that Christ received at the hands of wicked men. In Acts 16:23, it is made to Paul receiving many stripes by his persecutors. The concept embodied the words shamefully treated seemed to involve Paul being abused and reproached. I like the way Vines testifies, where Vines says that these words denote either insult or bodily ill treatment, suffering for the cause of Christ. In other words, beloved, in order to declare the message God had entrusted the Apostle Paul, listen, he had to endure ill treatment. Yet in spite of his suffering, he declares that coming to them, the church at Thessalonica, was not in vain. What a wonderful testimony that even though he had to suffer, he declares that I didn't come to you in vain, that my coming to you, that us sharing the gospel of God was not in vain. In other words, in spite of what he endured, he says that my work with the church at Thessalonica was not empty or fruitless, but rather, verse 2, he says, they had boldness in our God to declare the gospel of God to you in much conflict. I hope you hear the testimony here. The phrase much conflict is an athletic term. It speaks of struggle. It speaks of a contest and conflict. The phrase there is where we get our English word agony from. Are you listening to me? He uses the same word in Philippians chapter 1, verse 30, where he pictured the Christian life as an athletic contest that demands dedication and energy. In other words, hear me, beloved, in order to be faithful to the call and commission that he had been entrusted to by God, Paul had to suffer many things in many ways from many men. Listen, and let me just drop this on you real quick. The truth of the matter is, beloved, we've got a real fight on our hands. Listen, if we want to serve God, anybody who serves God at any length of time, know that we do not serve God uncontested. I hope you hear me today. The truth is, we've got a real fight on our hands. In fact, the real battle is unleashed against those who are trying to be faithful to what God has called them to do. If you're trying to be faithful in the ministry, if you're trying to be faithful in the singing area, if you're trying to be faithful even as an usher, if you're trying to be faithful as a deacon or a trustee or anywhere in the kingdom of God, you better recognize that your serving God will not go uncontested. I hope you hear me right now, because listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is we are in a dog fight. We are in a fight for our life. And the truth is, if we're striving for the Lord, Paul reminds us that we will suffer for the Lord. I know I'm right about it. Someone said it takes a test in order to get a testimony. Notice I said a test in order to get a testimony, not a testifony. Come on, somebody help me. If you want to serve God, there's going to be some suffering in the way. If you serve God, you're going to face numerous times of testing like the Apostle Paul. And we can, so that we will be able to say like Paul, that our serving was not in vain. In other words, it'll be worth it. Who help me hear somebody? It'll be worth it in the end. We see it in athletics when the athlete is working hard, training so that at the end they will stand at the victor's podium. Paul not only was faithful in how he suffered, Paul shows us that he was faithful and how he served. Watch the text. Paul defines, beloved, his message and also his motive. Six times in this letter, he mentions the gospel. Listen, it was the message by which Paul was convinced and converted. He declares in verse 3, he says, "For our appeal did not spring forth from error or impurities or any attempt to deceive." This word, error, in the Greek speaks of wandering or straying from the message. In other words, Paul says, I was not only faithful to the gospel that I preached, but also how I presented the gospel. He preached the truth in truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He preached the truth as been taught by the Spirit of truth. Paul, my brothers and sisters, said that he didn't come with impurities. That word impurity speaks of contamination or infection or pollution. Paul preached truth, and not only did he preach truth, the text suggests that he lived according to the truth. That is the true meaning of the word. In simple terms, Paul lived what he preached. I hope somebody hears me right here. He lived what he preached. He did not preach one thing and practice another. The word deceive is a fishing term that speaks of decoy, a decoy or bait. Paul admit that he did not attempt to trap people by the way a clever salesman traps people into buying his product. Listen, beloved, Warren Wiersbe says it like this. He says, salvation doesn't lie at the end of a clever argument or a subtle presentation. He says that salvation is the result of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I help you real quick? You didn't get and come down that aisle simply because someone was being clever. No, you was drawn down that aisle to give your life to Christ because of the power of the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God that moved upon us and convinced us and convicted us that we needed a Savior. I wish somebody would help me. It is in the power of God, and we don't try to trap people. I like that because, listen, watch verse 5 and verse 6. He says, "For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext of greed." He shouts it out by saying, "God is my witness." I like that. He says, "I ain't got to lie. I ain't got to tell you what didn't happen." He said, "God is my witness that we did not seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as an apostle of Christ." He said, "God is the witness to me." And he makes it very clear in verse 4. Watch this, where he said, "We did not get in the ministry for the purpose of pleasing man, but," listen, watch this, he says, "but to please God who tests our hearts." Did y'all see that? He says, "I'm not in the ministry for greed or for gold, but I'm in the ministry for the glory of God." And let me just help the church today that if you are in ministry in any capacity for your own glory, you are in the ministry for the wrong reason. If you want to be seen, if you want to be up front, if you want to be noticed, then you are in the ministry for the wrong reason. Paul says, I'm in it for the glory of God. I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for the Messiah. I'm not in it for the Skrilla. I'm in it for the Savior. I'm not in it to lift myself up. I'm in ministry to lift up the name, woo, of the Lord. Are y'all hearing me? Let me ask you this, beloved, because listen, Paul says, he says, I suffered and I served not to be applauded by men, but to be pleasing to God. And let me ask you this while I have a chance. Why do you serve God? Why do you serve for what you might gain or get out of it? Do you serve to be seen or applauded or commended or to be patted on the back or to receive a certificate? If so, your labor is in vain. It is empty, it is meaningless, it is fruitless, and in the end, it will be worthless. However, if we serve God in a pure manner, with a pure motive, and by pure methods, it may go unnoticed on planet Earth. Listen, beloved, but it will not go unnoticed in heaven. Somebody ought to shout amen. Do I need to tell you God is taking notes? And listen, beloved, glory to his name. He keeps good books. Are you hearing me? In the end, we will find out that all of our labor is not in vain. I love the words of a young missionary from Zimbabwe. And my pastor in San Diego, Dr. Timothy Winders, used to quote this. He said, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed, for I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast, and I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made, for I am a disciple of Christ. He says, I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. He says, my past is redeemed, my presence makes sense, and my future is secure. He says, I'm done, finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, and colorless dreams. I'm done with tame visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. Therefore, I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, and paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Christ, and I must go till he come, give till I drop, preach till I know, work until he stops me, and when he comes back, he will have no trouble recognizing that I am his own. Is anybody hearing me today? Listen, this sounds like a person who's sold out for the cause of Christ. Even though he had to suffer, he kept on serving. Even though he had to deal with some difficult stuff, he would not allow anything to stop him. And listen, beloved, we quit on God too soon. Even though we gotta suffer sometimes, even though some folk talk about us and try to put us down, I like what the Apostle Paul said. I kept serving because I know that in the end it will make a difference. Is anybody hearing me today? Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is, if you can't take it, you won't make it. Here it is. In the text, we see faithfulness is described, but not only do we see faithfulness described, we also see helpfulness that is depicted. Listen, talking of faithfulness, Paul played the role of a good soldier. In the area of helpfulness, Paul played the role of a gentle mother. It's in the text, verse 7. He says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. He goes on to depict his spirit of helpfulness by outlining his desire for them. Watch what he says. Paul described his love in a wonderful way. Verse 8, he says, he affectionately desired and longed for them because they were dear to him. We heard that today in the words of our pastor emeritus as he shared his love for Sister Dahl, Sister Hampton, and Hampton. It's the ideal that members become dear to us. Are you listening to me? And Paul here in the text, his chief desire is found in verse 12. He desired that they walk worthy. Y'all see that? Listen, walk worthy in the manner worthy of God who called them into his own kingdom and glory. In other words, Paul desired that these Thessalonian believers were not only converted, but that they were complete or mature in the Lord. His desire was not for them to crawl like babies, but for them to fight like giants. Listen, he wanted them to make great strides in the things of God. And I can't think of anything else that we as the body of Christ should desire more for the people of God to become all that God wants us to be. We should not delight in the trivial, but in our triumphs. We should not desire for us to fall or to fail, but we ought to desire for every single one of us to fly and to flourish. Are you listening to me? And I, like Paul, affectionately desire that we walk worthy of God who has called us into his kingdom and glory. Listen, I long to see, love to see, and live to see that every member of God's church, listen, beloved, every black boy, white girl, white boy, every individual of any color or any hue would walk worthy of the manner that God has called us. And it does not matter what color an individual is. Are you listening to me? Listen, I desire and I hope you desire as well that God get out of us everything that he has put in us. And I want to tell the people of God, you better recognize that we are in a pivotal place as the church of God. We are at a precipice. We are at a place, beloved, where we've got to make some stern decisions about what we do and how we do it. Listen, beloved, we can either strive for higher heights for the advancement of the kingdom of God, or we can stay the course and be content with business as usual. We can just keep on doing the same old thing, the same old way, and getting the same old results. Is anybody listening to me today? Listen, if we strive for greater, that simply means this, that we have to take some risks. We did it in the past, and we have to keep on taking risks. We're going to have to get out of the boat. Are you listening to me? It reminds me of a cautious man. It is said that he never laughed or played. He never risked or never tried. He never sang or prayed. And when he one day passed away, his insurance was denied. Listen, for since he had never really lived, they claimed he never died. Listen, beloved, that ought not be our testimony. Are you listening to me? We can't just stand on the backs of our ancestors. We got to keep on going higher. I hope somebody hears me. We got to keep on doing good and doing better. Listen, they've left a legacy for us to keep on climbing. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I want to go out in a blaze. Someone said you cannot discover new oceans unless you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. Hudson Taylor said, unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need of faith. That's why the Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I'm tired of sailing my little boat safe inside the harbor bar. I want to go out where the big ships float, out on the deep where the great ones are. And if my failed craft proves too slight for the wind and waves that billows o'er, I'd rather go down in a stirring fight than to drown to death there on the sheltered shore. Listen, whatever we do, beloved, it's going to take some risk. It's going to take some trust. trust in God, we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. If we want to walk on water, then we got to get out of the boat. Are you listening to me? Get out of the boat of tradition. Get out of the boat of legalism. Get out of the boat of sexism. Get out of the boat of status quo. Get out of the boat of keeping up with the Joneses. Jones United, Jones Methodist, Jones Missionary, Baptist, Episcopal, Church of God in Christ. We got to stop trying to do what other churches are doing and just to do what God has called us to do. Get out of the boat of racial divide and segregated Sundays and church as a social club, and it's going to take some risk. Everybody shout, risk. Risk. Whatever you do in faith for God will take some risk. That's what we see in the Hamptons as our testimony today. They took a risk. They're back, moving away from Sacramento, a place that they love, a place that helped them to grow. And they're following the lead of God. And don't believe, beloved, that there's not any risk involved in a move like that. Are you hearing me? Listen, Paul says, he says, I was helpful to these Christians at Thessalonica, and it was in his desire for them, but he also says it's seen in his devotion to them. Watch this, verse 8. Watch what Paul says. He says, he was ready to share with them not only the gospel of God, but also, he says, our own self. In other words, Paul kept nothing back of the whole purpose of God. He kept back no part of himself. He was devoted to them as a good soldier and a gentle mother. Verse 7, he says, just as a nursing mother takes care of her own children. The words take care literally means to keep warm. And you all know, there's nothing like a mother who holds her child in her hand to keep him warm. Are you listening to me? It depicts a mother providing, protecting, and prevailing, and her prevailing love for her child. And Paul was willing to endure many hardships out of his desire for God's people, as well as his devotion to God's people. He was willing to give his own self. I hope somebody hears that today. He gave himself for their spiritual welfare. Are you listening to me? Reminds me of a man who was up on the 16th floor of a skyscraper that was being built. And as a beam was being lifted up to him, he reached out to catch the beam only to lose his step. Are you hearing me? And grab a hold of the beam with his arms and legs. Soon, the weight of himself began to slide him down that pole as the beam went vertical. But just before he let go and lost his grip, one of his friends grabbed the beam on the other side. Ooh, I hope y'all hear me here. And the weight of the other man leveled the beam so that they were both able to safely be lifted to the ground. Come here, somebody. Hear me real good. The truth of the matter is, every day all around us, people are losing their balance in life. Are you hearing me? They're making wrong decisions and wrong turns. And we know that there are certain decisions that will ruin somebody's life. And listen, what they need are folk who are willing to help them keep their balance. And how do we do that? Through sacrificial living, by giving up of things that we might have enjoyed so that others might be led to safety. Listen, no one may applaud you on this side, on planet Earth, but it will be worth it when we hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let me ask you this. Do you know anybody out there in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of being paused for a little while, who is discouraged and defeated and defeated
deflated and depressed and disillusioned about what's going on in the world, you ain't got to answer that. I already know. You know someone. As a matter of fact, somebody listening to me right now. And the sound of my voice, you are deflated and you are confused. You are discouraged. Listen, is it worth giving up our lives in order that somebody else might come to know the Lord for themselves? Is it worth giving up our time? If it's worth giving up a meal, is it worth giving up? And I want to suggest to you, beloved, yes, it is. It's worth it. Because the truth of the matter is, we ought to learn how to hunt those folk down and help them up. Can I say that again? We ought to learn how to hunt those folk down and help them up. Can I suggest to you that somebody helped you up? Woo! I know I'm right about it. You didn't get here on your own good looks. You didn't get here because of your education. You didn't get here because you was tall and lean. I wish somebody would help me. No, it was the grace of God that got you where you are today. And had it not been for God on your side, the truth of the matter is, no matter how tall, no matter how good looking, no matter what you had going on, no matter what educational background that you had, you wouldn't have been here today. But somebody shout, but God. Woo, but the Lord made a way for you. And just like God made a way for us, we ought to make a way for somebody. We ought to be instrumental in being used by God to make a way for somebody else. Let me just give you this real quick. And this is my last point. Listen, if you can't take it, you won't make it. It is seen in Paul's faithfulness. It's seen in his helpfulness. But lastly, it is seen, beloved, in his watchfulness. Watch the watchfulness that is demanded. The Apostle Paul describes his faithfulness as a good steward. He depicts his helpfulness as a gentle saint. Now he concludes, watch this, the watchfulness of a great soldier in order to make it in the army of God. He wonderfully describes the labor that measured his life. We talked about the obstacles and the oppression and the opposition Paul faced in being faithful to his ministry. In verse 9, he gives another example. He says, you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. He says, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim the gospel of God. The word labor is referring to physical or manual labor. The word speaks of weariness or trouble. It represents the exhaustion that is experienced in difficult work. Hear me, toil paints the picture of difficulty or hardship from the labor. In the culture of the day, it was the usual term used to describe the physical strength involved in work. In simple terms, Paul was admitting that his work in the ministry was hard work. Help me hear somebody. I like that because we think this is easy. We think working for the Lord is not hard work. This is hard work. And let me just help you real quick. And I'm not talking about just paid staff, because it's not the paid staff that just keeps this thing rolling. Are you hearing me? It's those folk that work behind the scenes. It's those individuals that put in time and effort and energy. I wish somebody would help me. They don't get a paycheck. You don't see all the time what they're doing, but behind the scenes, they're working every day, working on their craft, working on their serving, working on loving God's people. And Paul says that my work in ministry is labor. It is hard work. Let me just help you real quick. Listen, if you want to be part of the St. Paul family and you don't want to work, you might as well, I'll recommend some churches to you. There's some wonderful churches out there that'll let you sit in the pew. Oh, help me hear somebody. But if you want to work, if you want to labor, if you want to be part of a kingdom building process, then as a member of St. Paul, we will demand that you work for the Lord somewhere. Help me. Are you hearing me? It's hard work. And D.L. Moody said it like this: I get tired in the work, but I never get tired of the work. And I get that because he says, I get tired, but I don't get in the work, but not of the work. In the work, of the work is when folk get saved. Of the work is when folk get delivered. Of the work is when folk are lifted up. Of the work is when, as a choir member, people are ushered into the presence of Almighty God. So we don't get tired of the work, we get tired in the work. Are you hearing me? As a matter of fact, work in the kingdom of God is downright tough. And I know times we want to quit, we want to give up. But Paul said in verse 1, I thank God that is not in vain. Are you listening to me? That all that we do has purpose and intentionality and reason behind it, and we may not fully understand it on this side. He says, but we'll understand it better by and by. One day, it will all make sense. Listen, beloved, we see this ideal of watchfulness in the labor that he measured in his life, in Paul's life, but the legacy that marked his life. Watch what he says. Paul left a mark by the way he served and loved God's people. Verse 10, he says, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. He says, I tried to do the right thing before you. Listen, in verse 11, he says, for you know, that's what he's saying to the church at Thessalonica. You know how we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you like a father charges his children. And he says, I tried to encourage you to give you some comfort. I also charged you. That Greek word charge simply means to make a very serious or emotional request of someone. It means literally to beg someone to get right with God. Paul says, I begged you, I implored you, you know how I charged you. And Paul says, you watch me work for the kingdom of God. That's his watchfulness. Paul says, you watch me have some good days and some bad days. You watch me have some hills to climb. You watch me have some weary days and sleepless nights. He says, but I kept on working. He says, I've been up and I've been down, almost level to the ground. But you watch me, and as you watch me, I kept on working. Listen, beloved, you saw that they lied on me. You saw that they talked about me. But you saw that I kept on working. People tried to knock me out. The enemy tried to take me out, but I didn't quit. I didn't give up. You watched me, and I kept on working. Paul says, I am a living witness that if you trust God and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Are you listening to me? And so Paul suggests to us that we ought to sing, I'll trust in the Lord until I die. Listen, beloved, I'll trust the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding and all my ways. I'm going to acknowledge him. Listen, beloved, I'll trust in the Lord when I'm in the valley. I'll trust in the Lord when I'm on the mountaintop. I'll trust in the Lord when I'm at the unemployment line. I'll trust in the Lord, listen, when I'm at the hospital or the cemetery. I'll trust when my family and friends don't understand. I'll trust because if Christ could die on a Friday, if Christ could cry out, Eli, Eli, Sabachthani, on a Friday, if Christ could say, it is finished on a Friday, if Christ could sink his head in the locks of his shoulders on a Friday and be put in a borrowed tomb, but early Sunday morning, get up with all power in his hand, then I'm going to keep on trusting God. Church, You got to be able to take it. Church, you got to hang in there. Church, you can't let go, because you got to keep your hand on the gospel plow. And one day we shall hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I'm done today. I'm done today. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we realize that in this world we shall have tribulation. In this world we've gotten sick and lost loved ones, and we know it's false doctrine to believe that that we never get sick and that we never die and go to the other side. We've lost loved ones. We've lost jobs. We've lost our health. And at times, oh God, we've lost friends. We've been persecuted at times and lied on and talked about. But Lord, we realize that we got to take it if we're going to make it. We got to be faithful. We got to learn to be helpful. And we got to learn to exemplify a life so that others may be able to watch and say, it's the God that they serve that's brought them through. And Paul said, Lord, he said, we've labored, and you see, you saw us labor, but we didn't quit. Paul says he didn't give up. And Father, we pray you give us that kind of spirit. Spirit of hanging in there, spirit of never giving up, spirit of not quitting on the work that you've entrusted to our hands. And even though the work gets tough sometimes, and even though folk don't understand, God, we're grateful that you have been faithful to us. And so we're praying today for all those who are at that place, that they might want to throw in the towel. They might want to give up. They might want to try something else. Thank you, Lord, for the example of the Apostle Paul. Now, God, Paul wanted to see folks saved. That is the end of our message. Lord, move in a mighty way over someone's life today, that they might come to know you in a very real way. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.